So Emily and I got an opportunity to go far away, and we got to go to Dominican Republic and Haiti, and it was I think a life-changing experience. And so what we're going to do this morning is we have a few questions that we kind of looked at. On the back of your bulletin are some questions that we're going to address that you can do with what you want, but those are the questions that we're going to ask each other. And we're going to go through some pictures that we went through. Now, I'm just going to be let you know that I was very generous, or not generous, I was very nice to narrow 4,500 pictures down to 34 pictures, or 34 slides, because I crammed a couple pictures on per slide. But at the end, we have a video of the whole trip, and you can kind of we'll see how it went. But it was a very exciting trip, and I just kind of want to give you just the intro, just what we were doing. Before we went, we didn't know really what we were going to do, and I've been on mission trips before. Emily has not, and it was kind of a loose schedule. So when we got there, there were times that we felt like we were having to hurry up and wait, and so that's we did a lot of hurry up and waiting. But as it unfolded, we did some children's ministry, kind of like what we do here. We probably went to a handful of different churches, some in the villages and some in a church building. And we did children's ministry like VBS, but it was shortened to about 2 hours. And so we were able to go to a couple places. We flew into Santiago, which is in Dominican Republic, and then we went to a place called Monte Cristi, and we stayed there for a few days, and then we went to Haiti, and then we went back to Santiago. So there was some traveling there. And in Monte Cristi, there are 4 Free Methodist churches. So it's a big city, and what we understand is there are 300 Free Methodist churches in Dominican Republic now, today. And we had the opportunity to go to Monte Cristi, where they had the very first Free Methodist church, which was 128 years ago. And we had the privilege to paint the inside and the outside of this building, this church building, and be a part of that. And it was really cool. So we went, we did the painting inside and out, we did 2 kids programs, we had a boat trip to the secluded island, we had ice cream opportunities, that was cool. We had we toured the town, and we had a powerful 2-hour church service. And so that was in Monte Cristi. That was the first half of our trip. And then the second half, we went with 20-plus Dominicans to Haiti, and we were able to participate and go with them and to reach out to the Haitians. There was, as we drove in a bus, about 30 of us in a 20-person bus. That's what it felt like, right? And these Dominicans were dancing and singing and clapping, and it was just a tremendous experience. And it was about a 5-hour drive, a very treacherous, bumpy ride. And we went to the border of Dominican Republic and Haiti, which is about 80% of its population are Haitians, but they're living there illegally. And they have little way of jobs, opportunities, and resources. And so we stayed at this World Vision camp, and we got to stay in bunk beds. We brought mosquito nets and sheets. And we had 2 working toilets out of 4, so we got them working, or somebody got them working. And so we spent 48 hours in this area, in this camp. We did prayer walks. We did, we did a church service. We did food and toy distribution, and we rode in the back of pickup trucks going up and down very rocky dirt roads, and it was pretty impressive terrain. So that's kind of the overview of our trip, and so I wanted to show you a couple pictures, get us started. Mike, if you can show us the first picture, if it works. Okay. It was a team of 10 people. Is my microphone working? It was about 10 people from the United States. We had Salem, we had Beaverton, and we had Sweet Home. And then we joined two people from Indianapolis who had been there. This was their third time, and they're not in this picture because this is the airport. So we flew out, and the next picture is a picture of your pastor and his daughter.
The source of my existence.
The source of your existence. So I want to stop here and ask the question, Emily. What was the most enjoyable thing you experienced? And now you've got to ask me the question after that.
Okay. There was multiple things that I really enjoyed. For one, it was all the babies. You will see multiple pictures. There were about 20 pictures in the 4,000 of me holding random babies. One of the nights we were on the pastor's roof, and we were talking about how grateful he was that we were there. And then he was like, well, maybe we should sing. And so we had a little worship night on the pastor's roof, and they were singing in Spanish and we were singing in English. And I was holding a baby, and that was just like the perfect moment. Just singing to the same God in different languages was really enjoyable.
It brought chills to my back.
Yeah.
You know, and it felt like God was just right there, and we were singing together in different languages.
Another moment I really enjoyed was I wasn't feeling too well when we were in Haiti at one point in time, and so I had just gotten up from a short nap, and I went, and there was so many kids in this little, like, covered area that we had, and all of a sudden I saw these men start bringing huge boxes, like 8 boxes. And then as they got closer, it read Samaritan's Purse Christmas boxes. And I was so, so excited. I was like, are you kidding me? I get to experience this, and I, like, wrapped those Christmas boxes during Christmas time, and that's just a tradition that I like to do. And I got to see, like, 300 kids get these boxes.
It was ordered chaos.
it was
orderly
chaotic.
Chaos. It was fun.
But it was just so beautiful just to see those kids. And it wasn't arranged. Like, it just, like, that was arranged and we were arranged to be there. It was just God's plan. We just happened to be there at the right time.
Yeah, there's a great picture you'll see in a minute of Emily handing out boxes. My favorite, best experience was we were part of this Dominican team, actually two different churches, and we joined them and we went into Haiti and did ministry with them. We got to participate in the kitchen duties, and everybody got to participate. And so I went into the kitchen, and I got to peel green bananas. We're talking green, green, green bananas. And I'm sitting amongst some of these ladies that don't speak English, and they're laughing at me. And so I was peeling these bananas, and I just didn't do a very good job at all. And so that was an interesting cultural experience. But as I was participating in the kitchen, we had hot chocolate one night, and I came in, and they were worshiping the Lord in this 12-foot by 10-foot kitchen with about 20 of them. And they were sitting around. Some of them were getting ready for the meal, and some of them were just playing music. And they were clapping, and there was a drum, and there was a cheese grater, you know, one of those sound things. And it was just an amazing experience. They have passion and rhythm, and it was just enjoyable. So there was one time later, after a worship service, that they had some ladies dancing and doing interpretive dance. There, it's just movement to Christian music. And they invited the Americans up to dance with them, and so that was a lot of fun, I thought, because we were just dancing with them, and no one cared about how bad we were. So, all right. So the next question I want to ask is, let's just look at a couple pictures, and then we'll ask the question. This picture is all of our selfies that we got to spend time together, Emily and I, and it was, like I said, it was a great time to do a mission trip with her, and I think we learned a lot, so hung out together. So let's see the next one. This was a picture of the university that we stayed at the first night in Santiago, and this is a Christian university that the bishop of the whole country, the Dominican Republic country, lives right next door. And I don't know if Yvonne remembers this place, but she stayed there for how long?
3 school years.
3 school years. So I don't know if you recognize any of these buildings, but it's been a while. This is actually a pool right next to the part of the dorms. It's a very nice place. So we got there, we were tired, and we were spoiled. We had air conditioning, and we had internet, and we had food, and we had a swimming pool, and then we went out into the villages after that the next day. So we were spoiled the first night, and we got to meet a lot of the different people that are involved in the ministry there for the Free Methodist, the bishop and the superintendent and a couple different pastors and just a whole bunch of people. It was great. So the next question is, what was the most challenging for you, Emily? What was the most challenging?
Well, I mean, it's hard to go on these trips and know that you are an American and that you have money. And I think probably one of the most challenging moments was at the very end when I realized that these Dominicans don't have much money compared to us, but then they're reaching out to these Haitians who have even less. And that was just really challenging for me, just to, like, oh, that's just something that came to my realization.
It's the contrast is very interesting to go, and I think when we go on a mission trip, Americans go on a mission trip, we come back and we're like, oh, we have so much, but I think it really just sinks in to realize that they use less resources than we do, and they are so, I mean, they're just, they function. They live with cold water showers, and they live with, you know, just different things like that, and so when it's 98 degrees and 90% humidity, you want a cold shower. That was the most challenging thing for me, was working in the heat. I don't think I've worked in the heat
so
for a long
hot.
Time, but
I got to Oregon and it was 90 degrees here and I was cold.
Yeah, so today is supposed to be in the 90s, and the humidity was extremely high, that basically you're sweating about a gallon of sweat. So that was challenging for me, but I think one of the things that we learned in this trip, I learned, is that we got to a point where we were praying and asking God, Lord, will you sustain me? Will you give me the strength that I need? And it was cool, because by the end of the day, I realized that God gave me that strength to be able to keep going, to be able to persevere. So that was the challenging thing for me, and God met me there. So,
what were some cultural observations?
Cultural observations. I wrote down just a few, but there's the driving, the food, the showers, the coffee, the music, and life. This is a lot, right? But I'll tell you one thing is the driving. you know when you get behind someone who's driving slow and you get frustrated and you're like, right? Well, they don't do that. They don't put their hand up and yell and scream. They just pass them. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's someone coming the other way. I'm serious.
The biggest vehicle wins.
The biggest vehicle wins.
Got it.
And there's motorcycles. Probably 80% of the vehicles are motorcycles, but then the rest are big trucks and buses. And we were in a big bus, and we came to a construction site, and the guy had the stop sign up, and our bus driver just kept driving through that stop sign. And I was, and wow, okay, that's how it works here. And the driver honks their horn as a courtesy, telling the person, I'm coming around you, and I'm going to, you know, keep going. So that was, I think, the most surprising thing is the driving.
For me, it was the first time showering out of a bucket, because the house that we were at, they had like scheduled water, so like certain days they had no water. So you would just, you know, fill up a bucket from a bigger like barrel, and then you would basically take a shower out of that bucket. So that was interesting for me. And then motorcycles, oh my goodness, I want one. I rode on a motorcycle, and not for the first time, I think I've ridden on one before, but the second time in the Dominican that I rode a motorcycle, well, first it was, I don't know how old he was, but the second time.
16, maybe?
No, that was the second guy. He was like 15 years old, and I was like, oh my goodness. The adrenaline
so
is just
one of the things that we knew the truth, but I think you have to be 18 to get a license, but they don't go by the rules there, obviously. So
normally for
Nathaniel's age,
it's like 8 years old
driving motorcycles, putting
cars, it's 12.
Yeah, putting people on the back of
it's
motorcycles.
Really what it is.
And then we sat on the back of these motorcycles with these young people, trusting the Lord, right? Well, let's look at a couple pictures, because we're getting kind of behind the pictures. The next couple pictures, this is where Santiago is, up there on the right circle. And then we went to Monte Cristi, and then on the left, so the left is Monte Cristi, and then to the left is Haiti. So we went all three places, and on the right, these two pictures are two different places that we went and did children's ministry, VBS, a couple hour VBS, and we would do story and we would do song and we would play games and we'd give them some candy, and then 2 hours would be like that, and then we'd have to say goodbye. So it was a joy, but then it was, oh, we're never going to see you, or we'll see you again, but maybe in heaven. So
I want to bring attention this very pregnant woman. She has an incredible story. She helped us translate with the kids, and it wasn't like a straight up like monotone translation. It was like a real translation, just putting her passion into it. And we got to hear her story, and she is 8 months pregnant, and she has a brain tumor. Well, she had a brain tumor, and then she figured out she was pregnant, so they had to stop all therapy. And so she was going in a week after we left to get the baby out, basically, and then so she can resume her her therapy, or, you know,
surgery.
And so it was just really interesting to see how, what, you know, the struggles that she's struggling with, but she still was helping us while she's like 8 months pregnant with a brain tumor.
And she had the joy of the Lord.
It wasn't just like a, oh, I'm helping translate. It was like she had full-on joy of the Lord.
Yeah. So let's look at a couple more pictures here. This is the transportation. The young kids driving the motorcycles. Actually, it was probably a mom. But on your left is a pickup truck, and that's how they transported all the community kids to the church. And so it was just fun to see. How about the next picture? This is at the church that we painted. It was transitioned from an orange color to a blue-white color. This is Patrick on my left, and he is Trevor Owen's father, Trevor Owens, is a pastor up in Salem, and he was our leader for the week. So how about a couple more pictures here? This is Emily.
It rained one day while we were painting inside, and it just cooled down really quick, and it reminded me of Oregon, so I was outside.
She was pretty
getting
hot.
Soaked.
She was pretty hot out there, so. Next slide. There's
babies.
You want to explain how many babies you...
The little girl in my arm over here, she was the pastor's daughter in Monte Cristi. And then the lady who basically organized this trip in the Dominican Republic, her son, I'm also holding. And then it's a random girl who would pout whenever I wouldn't give her attention. But then when I would give her attention, she'd be like all over me. So.
Next slide. Again, these are this is in a village, a different VBS children's ministry, and we continue to tell the story of Jonah, and we did some songs of, we did Father Abraham, one of the songs, and we were just silly. We just had fun like we kind of do here at our VBS, and we played games. Right there on the right is Emily is part of the boat, and Jonah is in the boat there, and they're swaying around, and I don't know, the left is a song that they're singing. So, next slide. This is just a conversation on the left with some of the kids, and this is a different guy on our team. His name is Terry, and he was a great asset to the team. Next. Here's Emily on a motorcycle, and I'm over here on the right.
He was on the motorcycle first, and then a few minutes later I told him it was my turn. So.
Yeah, they're not very big motorcycles. So. Okay, so the next question we have here is, what did you remember, what will you remember for a long time? Like, what will impact your whole life from this trip?
Oh my goodness.
Or for a long time.
Just experiencing their, like, so we had two, like, college-age students with us who were helping interpret, and they kept saying what an honor it was to help us and to see our passion, and I was like, my passion? Like, have you looked in the mirror? Because the passion that they have there is so much greater than what I have, and I was jealous. I was like really jealous. Like, I don't have that passion. But then they're telling me that I have that passion. I'm like, no, I don't have that passion at all. I think that was just something that will stick with me for a very long time. Just seeing that they're the ones who have the more passion and they think that they don't have enough. They want more. Which is definitely a lesson that I can learn.
And that was part of the connection with the different teams, was we inspired each other. They inspired us because they have this true passion for the Lord, and supposedly, I guess, they were thinking the same thing. So, I think the one thing that I'm going to remember for a very long time is one thing that I'm going to take away is that when we went into the place that was on the border of Dominican Republic and Haiti, and there was a lot of poverty, and we were leaving. We were heading home, and we were in this bus, packed, just full, and we had all these. We had oatmeal packets, we had toilet paper rolls, we had candy, we had some cracker packets, and they told us we had one more mission to accomplish, and they said we're going to go through an area of Haiti that's very impoverished, and we can't stop because it would be too dangerous for us to stop and get out. Not because they were kill us, but because they would just overpower us and try and take everything we have, because they're just desperate. So what we decided to do was the only thing that we could do is just drive slowly and throw it out the windows. And so as we're doing this, we're throwing it out the windows, and there's people standing up. I can't really see. But as I turned to my left and I saw a lady in our bus, a Dominican, and she buried her face in the chair. And it was probably 3 minutes. And I realized that she was just bawling. She was just bawling for these Haitians. And so then I looked to my right, and there was another girl, young 20-year-old girl, bawling for these Haitians. And what you may not understand or know is that the Dominicans and the Haitians don't like each other. And part of this mission was to get to participate in this great divide where Dominicans are going into Haitian territory and reaching out and sharing Christ with them. And so this is very, I saw God's compassion for these people, and it was just, and it was through seeing God's compassion laid on these Dominicans, who probably similar to how we think of illegal immigrants in our country, were very suspicious. They consider Haitians that way too. But this was different. They were reaching out and they were loving these Haitians. And so it was really cool to see. And I think I'll remember that for the rest of my life. All right, so we want to show you a few more pictures. This was the apartment that we stayed at. It was about four stories up. And this is Monte Cristi. It's not very clear, but over to the left is the ocean. Next slide. Emily with some more babies. Is that the same? Those are different babies, right?
No, it's the same baby.
Same baby, okay. All right, so some of the Dominicans, these guys were our translators, Jose and Juanquil, and I really like these guys. They are fun. We had a lot of linguistic conversations.
He was like best friends with them, like the first day.
And they were just a lot of fun. Very helpful. Now, this is the church.
Before and after.
In Monte Cristi, and it was really, really, really dirty. And they don't have power washers over there. So we had to scrub the dirt off of this church with a little brush, a little wire brush, a little broom. So for probably half of a day, we cleaned it. And then we painted. And because of your guys' support, because of the team and all the people that provided, some of the money that we paid for our trip paid for the paint and the supplies for this to be done. This, you want to tell about this?
I was going to say, if you go back to the slide, if you can see the logo of the Free Methodist on the church, in between where we're all standing with the cross and the fire, some guy, Dominican, did that freehand. Just did it. And I was
within a few hours.
Within
half
within
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were just like really surprised.
And the sign up above.
How good it looked.
Yeah, so that it's really, so this next picture is a foundation for a parsonage for the pastor. Right now the pastor and his wife, who've been there a year, they're renting a house. And it's a lot of money for the church to pay, but they have this property, and so they're building a parsonage. And so next year or whatever, whether it's next year or whatever, they're gonna finish putting the ceiling. And what they're gonna do is they're gonna build two stories. You can see the rebar, and they're gonna put another story on top, and they're gonna use that for the ministry, as well as for the pastor and wife. And so we got to see that. And so there's pictures of us having ice cream, and when it's really hot, it's nice to have ice cream. And we're walking to the church here on the left. Next slide. This is a beach that we got to go on. Did you want to share about this?
Yeah, some guy in the church had a fishing boat, so he was able to take us to that tiny island over there, and it was really beautiful. The water was super salty, but it was like 85 degrees. It felt really nice.
Yeah, it was like getting in a hot tub. It was warm. Good. Next slide. So this on the right is actually the roof of the house that the pastor lives in. it looks pretty fancy. The house is not very big, but the whole roof is pretty nice. And so there were a couple times when we were up there. One was when we were worshiping the Lord, looking at the stars and praising Him in different languages. And then this other time was when we sat up there and we had a meal. And I don't remember what they called it, but it was basically what we do when we have a stew. And everybody brings food to put in that stew, like the stone soup. So they had pieces of corn on the cob, and they had yucca, and they had just everything, potatoes and corn.
They had leftover goat from the night before.
Oh, yeah, goat.
We had goat. It tasted really good. It tastes like roast beef.
Next slide. So on the left is a banana truck. Pretty cool experience to see that. And that's at a checkpoint as we're going towards Haiti. And on the right is kind of a blown up picture. But right on that kind of orange, see Monte Cristi? You go down, we're basically on the line of Haiti and Dominican Republic. So, next slide. This is us at the camp. And a bunch of us churches got provided basketballs and volleyballs and soccer balls and things like that. And we were able to give them to some of the kids. And Emily is having some time with the Lord there in this camp. Next slide. This was a time where we actually went out into the village in groups of four or five of us. And we actually went door to door. And it's not like America where you knock on the door and you talk to them at your front door. You don't go inside. Basically, people are sitting outside of their house in a chair or on the ground or whatever, or they're working in their yard. And you just walk by and you ask them, can we pray for you? And so we had great opportunities to pray for some people. Emily had an experience of with the lady, right, that accepted the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You can share what you want to share.
We were able to lead a lady and her son to Christ, and so that was really good. And then at one point in time, I don't know why we walked in, but we walked into a barbershop. It was this one room, and as soon as I walked in, I felt sick to my stomach. I was sick, and it was very obvious to me that whatever this barber was involved in was not of the Lord. And when we asked for prayer, he wanted success for his business. And surprisingly, I was designated to pray. So I prayed, and I prayed that, you know, happiness comes from God. I felt really, just really sad for this man who was a Christian but is now in something that is not of the Lord. And he has this younger brother who is, which we'll talk about later, they've been discipling about 12 young men, and his younger brother is one of those men. And it was just... it was just hard to see that and to feel that, like I felt it inside of me, and which is why I wasn't feeling well for the rest of the time in Haiti. And they're just in my prayers, like those particular people, I will always remember them and know that that particular man is in my prayers.
Yeah, we had some opportunities to pray for people that definitely saw the Lord's, the need for the Lord there is great. And so that was really a great opportunity to walk around and pray for people. Well, how about the next slide? These are some Haitian little kids. They're just adorable. You want to just take them home with you. But some of them have faces of just despair and sadness. And the neat thing was we were able to just spend time with them and build relationships with them, but they would come around and just follow us. We went around the village and prayed for people. They were just following us where we went. And they came to the camp when we had food. We gave them extra, we gave them the leftovers, and they just, it was just neat to see them be a part of their lives. Next slide. So that's me showing them a picture of themselves. So this is a great opportunity, a great connection with kids. You take a picture of them, and then you show them themselves, and they love that. Next slide. Okay, Emily's giving out Christmas boxes, and there's 300 kids there, I'm sure. It's just packed. They're hanging out and getting these Christmas boxes. It was just a great experience. And then this picture is actually a picture of about 12 young people, young men, mm-hmm. who have come to know the Lord, and they're being discipled to become leaders, whether a pastor or an elder or somebody in the church. And so they have a meeting every Saturday, and they get mentored. And so we had the opportunity to join them, and we got into small groups. Over there on the right was my small group, and we got to pray for these young people, mm-hmm. and ask God to bless them and to keep them following the Lord as they don't all have the opportunities that we do. So it was cool to pray for them.
A really cool thing is we had some leftover balls, and so we were able to give each of these guys a ball. So that was, like, really fun because, like, afterward they were playing with them. Like, we were passing the volleyball around, and so it was really cool to see their faces. Just, they got a ball.
Okay, a few more pictures, and then we're going to conclude. I had an opportunity to preach. And at that service, there were about three people that came up to accept Christ, and that was really cool. I couldn't converse with them. I had a translator, but it was really neat. Next slide. This is the time where we were praying for people in the village, and on the right are some guys eating sugar cane, just eating sugar cane off the stick there, chewing on them. Next slide. This is beautiful Haiti, Dominican. I mean, I know that Haiti is not beautiful necessarily because they've taken trees. So this is a pretty area of Haiti and Dominican. So right there, all those trees and hills. Down below, we're walking around the town praying for people. Next slide. This is some of the kids taking pictures, looking at the camera. Next. This is our part of our team on the left, and one of the team ladies on the right with Trevor, who is our leader. Next, and then this is probably the whole team. I think everybody's there.
Yeah, it's the whole team.
So, like I said, there's two different Dominican churches, young people, and you couldn't tell who was who. I mean, they all just meshed together as one group. And we joined them. And the neat thing was that you wouldn't know this, and I didn't know this until later, that when we joined these two churches, they had found out that we were coming. They had found out that we wanted to go to Haiti. So they took a trip in February to explore and do a mission trip to Haiti themselves. And so when we got there, they had already been. They had already experienced it. They had already had this excitement about it. And so when we were going with them, it was cool because we weren't the leaders. We were the participants with them. And that's the whole idea of missions, is you want to be a part of something and help them, but not tell them what to do. You want to join them in what God is doing over there. So that was really cool. And then this is the kind of the last day we were there. Took some pictures of us walking to town. And I don't know if you want to say this is Juan Kill's.
Oh, this is one of our translators, his girlfriend. She actually is a better translator than him.
She taught him English.
but I just became friends with her, and we connected pretty well.
Yeah.
And I got to hang out with her. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I just want to just share a couple things that Trevor shared in his letter. And this Trevor is the leader of, like I said. He said that in Haiti, children ran naked and old ladies would flock to the side of the bus trying to chase us as we drove by, hoping we would throw things out the window to them. And you could see the desperation in the faces of almost everyone there. And so we gave them what we could do with because of safety reasons. And so he says to really affect their lives, to help lift them out of the situation they were in, we would have to get out of the bus, go live among them, and offer them all the resources and the perspectives of the world and God to help them. But that's not always the case. But if you think about that perspective, that we would have to get out of the bus and go live with them, that's what Jesus did for us, is that Jesus came down to this earth to live amongst us, to give us the resources, to give us life. And so that's the perspective that he shared, was that there's a great need in this world to do that, to reach out, to go and be amongst people. And so we are called, you and I, we are called to be like him. And one of the things, the last question was, how has this trip changed your perspective and what will you do next? And I said, I want to bring God's life to this community as a team, like our mission team has done during this last summer at the park, or during Wednesday nights that we did in the spring with the kids, teaching them life skills. Or as we started last year doing in life groups at someone's house, bringing life into people's lives and living with them and showing them Christ. I think that's what I would like to take back from this trip. Anything else from you?
I mean, like I said before, the passion. I felt like I was not alive enough. And I think that something that I'm going to bring back or remember forever is just to always try and be more alive, to not be dead inside, because that's sad. I mean, to say it bluntly, that's really sad. Just be dead.
Fully alive.
To be fully alive in Christ.
Fully alive in Christ. And to bring that life to the community.
Of course.
Yes.
To not only keep that for myself, but to share that. I definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to conclude. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to show you, we'll show you the video of our trip as a benediction. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that Emily and I had to go on this trip and as a team. Thank you for the Dominicans who are now reaching out beyond their borders to people that they don't necessarily or haven't had relationships in the past with. And I just pray, we ask that you would continue to build bridges between these two cultures. Lord, would you do the same here in Sweet Home? Would you use us as a church, and even the other churches around here, to build bridges out into the community that they may look the same, but they don't know Christ. Maybe they don't live the same way, but we ask that you would help us to reach out to them and to love them. Whether they are in poverty or not, we just pray that you would give us the strength to do that, reaching out. In Jesus' name, amen.